Psalm 119, we're beginning a new portion this evening, verses 113 through 120. It's the Hebrew letter, Semek, and this letter is represented from the Hebrew alphabet by these eight verses of Psalm 119. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we will all read together these eight verses in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked off the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for the fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. If you notice here, the psalmist is kind of giving a new approach to some of these ideas as he's working into this next passage of Scripture. We kind of saw an inward focus on the last group of the different my things that we looked at over those eight verses. So I want you to kind of look at the comparisons that are made here. And this is something that we need to kind of pay attention to. Look at verse 113. He notices, or he mentions some things. One of them is, I hate. And then he says, I love. Those are opposites, aren't they? Those are comparisons. He says, I hate vain thoughts. But thy law do I love. So, you know, we need to kind of take a look at these things that the psalmist said he hated. We also need to look at the things the psalmist said that he loved. You know, I think David is a good example. I think overall, he was true to what God wanted out of him. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Did he stumble along his path? Yes, he did. But, you know, to be called a man after God's own heart is quite an accomplishment, if you will. And so, you know, overall, I think we can kind of trust his judgment here that he says he hates vain thoughts. I got to thinking about that. Something that is empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance, proud of petty things, or trifling attainments, elated with a high opinion of one's own accomplishments, or with things more showy than valuable, conceited. Now that's a complex definition, and it's actually a compilation of several of the ideas of that definition. But basically, it's things that really don't matter. Or if I may say in a very low vernacular, doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You all understand that, right? Okay, I thought that was a good Southern comment. There you go. So that's what vanity and vain thoughts add up to. You know what? We have this empty, worthless, having no substance, value, importance, petty, all this stuff, conceited and showy and invaluable things. It just isn't worth much. And David said, I hate that. I hate that. But then on the opposite end of the spectrum, he says, but thy law do I love. So if he hates the emptiness, and if he hates the non-substance and the petty and the trifle and all of that, doesn't that make God's word the opposite of that? Can I tell you something? God's word is valuable. So David said, I don't like the invaluable. I hate the invaluable, but I love the valuable. I hate that which doesn't come to anything and has no substance, but I love that which does. He's showing us a path to take. You know, there are many things that come through our lives that really don't amount to anything. We need to avoid them. We need to stay away from them and even push them away as they come to our lives. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David says to his son Solomon, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." You know, and I don't think that just David alone hated vain thoughts and loved God's law. I think God does too. And all of those that serve and follow after God. In 1 Chronicles 29, he continues and says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision." You understand that David had this in his heart and his thoughts. There was substance and value to what he held dear. And those were the things of God. And he wanted that for his son Solomon. And you know what? Honestly, at the beginning, Solomon did well. Unfortunately, things were turned the other way. If you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you hear Solomon say over and over again, "Vanity, vanity, vanity, vanity." And you know what? I think he kind of understood what his father David was talking about. As he says here in Psalm 119 verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." In Genesis chapter 6, we come to a time where in the earth that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know what? It's full of vanity, emptiness, things that were trifle, petty, more showy than valuable, conceited. These people were elated with a high opinion of their own accomplishments. Remember the Tower of Babel? Yeah, we're gonna build a tower, right? I mean, all that stuff. And you know, I know that was after the flood, but you understand that all of these things, this is how man worked. This is what he thought about, what he planned on. And it's like, you know, no, we're not doing all this. This is not all going to happen this way. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You know what? Noah, I think he felt like David. He hated those vain thoughts. And he loved the law of God. He followed after God. He was one out of all the face of the earth that had this feeling. How are you doing with hating vain thoughts and loving God's word? In Psalm chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Psalm 94 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Well, it says right there that these things that are not according to God's word are vanity. And the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. But the ones who follow God's law, they get to have rest from the adversity. They get to have value from the protection of God and his word. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Solomon said in Proverbs 12, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. In chapter 15, he says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. In chapter 16, he says, the preparations of the hardened man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. It's important for us to understand the comparison between this which David hated, the vain thoughts, and that which he loved, the law of God, and how that applies to us in our lives today. You see, naturally, our natural tendency is toward vain thoughts. That's our natural tendency. That's what God said. Remember what he said in Psalm 94, that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. So what do we have to combat this natural tendency of vain thoughts? The law of God. The word of God. Are you there in chapter 21, verse 1? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, an high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. You see how the thoughts, they lead us astray. We think we can make a quick buck, right? Or accomplish this, or accomplish that, or do this, or that, or have this quality, or this thing, or that thing. Those are things that are vanity. When we can follow after the law of God, and God will provide, and God will protect, and God will do for us. Isaiah 55 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, why do you suppose that the Bible tells us that we need to have the mind of Christ? Why do you suppose it says we need to be renewed in our mind? We need to, our thoughts to be changed. You see, as natural man, we don't think right because we're cursed. We need to think as God would have us think. And how in the world can we do that without the law of God? We can't. We need His law. We need to love His law. In Jeremiah 4, it says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? I like how he said that. He's like, they're stuck. You're stuck in your vain thoughts. They're lodged in there. You can't get them out. He's like, how long are you going to let them be stuck in there? He's like, get the pry bar of God's law in there and pop them out. Yeah, they're lodged in there. He says in Jeremiah 6, he says, Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So in chapter 4, he tells them, hey, wash your heart, dislodge those thoughts, get them out of there. And then he says in chapter 6, just two chapters later, he says, hey, I'm bringing evil upon this people, because they didn't dislodge them. They didn't get those vain thoughts out of there because they rejected my law. So here, the vain thoughts and the law of God are projected together, just like David did in Psalm 119. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You, of course, know that's when the Pharisees were fussing about the disciples not washing their hands. And listen, I'm for washing their hands. And trust me, Jesus is for washing their hands. Okay? So all you kids, wash your hands. Right? Now listen, that's not what it was all about. It was about the thoughts. And the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why they're naturally opposed, vain thoughts and the law of God, because it searches them out. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know what? Dislodge those vain thoughts and fill them with the pure, honest, just, lovely, I'm trying to find them out here, virtuous, full of praise. Fill them with these things. Where do those things come from? The wonderful word of God. Think on these things. Think on these things. Back to Psalm 119, David said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now we get to the point where I talk about the song service. He hideth my soul. We just sang that song. Brother Camp did not know. Brother Dart did not know. Musicians did not know that this was going to come up. I love how that works, don't you? God knew it was going to come up. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. He covers me there with his hand. He's our hiding place. He's our shelter. He's our shield and protector. He says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. We've already established that God is absolutely trustworthy. Absolutely trustworthy. He is the one that cares for us. A place of concealment. To cover, as with a shield. To cover from danger. To defend, to protect, to secure from assault or injury. That's what hiding and shield mean. You understand that God is the one that conceals us. God is the one that covers us. God is our shield. God is the one that keeps us from danger. He defends us. He protects us. He secures us in our lives. God is the one. God is the one Job trusted. You say, yeah, but God let him be taken advantage of by the devil. Yes, he allowed that. But it did have a purpose. He did have a plan. And he did restore Job through all of that. So understand that God knows what's best. And can I tell you, I'm sure Job benefited from all of that. Because that's how God works. You understand that God was his hedge of protection. Satan kind of complained about that, didn't he? It's like, hey, yeah, I know him, but I can't touch him because you're protecting him. God is our hiding place. He is our shield. And we hope in his word. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, there's 11 verses here. I know we have read these before, but it adequately describes how David felt about God being his shield and his hiding place. Psalm 32, look at verse 1. We're going to read all 11 verses here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, in Deuteronomy 33, it says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. David said in Psalm 18, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. In Psalm 28, David said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Aren't you glad that God is our shield? That he is our hiding place? And can I tell you that Solomon knew even the wisdom, not only that his father taught him and shared with him, but that God personally shared with him. In Proverbs chapter 30, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. David said, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You're doing a great job tonight of flipping and keeping on schedule. Ephesians chapter 6. I do try to encourage you every opportunity I can. Look at verse 11. Paul writes, Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that an utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Did you notice there that none of these elements are in and of ourselves? They're all provided by God. It's the armor of God, the whole armor of God. He provides our protection. He provides our concealment. He provides our cover from danger, to defend, to protect, and to secure from assault or injury. And if you will, from the fiery darts of the wicked. He's our hiding place. Do you notice there that God's word is incorporated into the armor? We have an opportunity to have God be our protector through his word. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousnesses, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, there ought to be a special thing that we have with the relationship of the word of God and us. When you're in a time of trouble, when you're in a time of distress, when you're in a time of difficulty, you know where you should run? Yeah. When temptations overwhelm you and those darts are coming, that's where you should run. The hiding place. The shield. He said, I hope in thy word. You know, these times of difficulties, when these things are coming against us and we need God to be our hiding place and God to be our shield, it's his word and our hope in it that sustain us. That sustain us. David went through a lot of these times. The disciples in the early church went through a lot of these times. In Acts chapter 4, they were praying after having a consultation with those in charge and in authority. And they were beaten and commanded not to teach or preach anymore in his name. And they said, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, protect us, save us, keep us, right? Well, kind of. But look what they wanted. That with all boldness, that they may speak thy word by the stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, God did protect them. God was their shield. He was their hiding place. But not just to kind of sit back and watch the world unfold around them, but to rather go out and do valiantly for the Lord in battle. Did you notice that in the armor of God, in the whole armor of God, it was not necessarily just for defense, but rather for offense, that they may go forward for the cause of Christ. Go back to Psalm 119. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I'll look at the last one for tonight. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. So first of all, we saw an inequality. We saw the things that he hated and the things that he loved. And then we saw an equality, the hiding place and the shield and God's word. And now we see another inequality. You didn't know this was going to be a math lesson, did you? Equalities and inequalities. We see evildoers and those that do the commandments of God. There's a difference. David said, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. If they were to have kept the commandments of his God, would they have been asked to depart? No, they would not have been asked to depart, because they would have been good doers, not evil doers. They would have been commandment doers, not evil doers. Therefore, those that do not the commandments of God are considered evil. And they're to depart. They're to go away from. Oh, by the way, being evil means to have bad qualities of a moral kind. Wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong. As evil thoughts, evil deeds, evil speaking, and evil generation. Evil. It's the opposite of what God is. Good, right, just, holy, pure. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Turn to Psalm 37. Just a few pages over to the left. Psalm 37. Now, Psalm 37 is 40 verses long. We're not going to read all 40 verses. But let me just give you a little bit of a synopsis here. Is that okay? A summary. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So that's a warning, right? He says, hey, don't fret yourself because of them, and don't be envious against them, and because they're going to be cut down. They're going to have these bad things happen to them because of their evil state. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. And we got the opposite there. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now he goes on and he pleads a case for those that will be righteous, and he pleads a case for those that will be evil or wicked. And he says what's going to happen to each one as he goes through, and things like the arms of the wicked shall be broken. Okay. This is a bad thing, right? But then he says about the righteous that they're going to have things happen for them. It says that they're going to be brought forth as the light, and these things happening to them. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He said, for such as be the blessed of him that inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So there's this comparison back and forth. you can read these 40 verses on your own and simply see the inequality of those that are evildoers and those that are commandment doers. David was a commandment doer. Those that he asked to depart from him were evildoers. In Psalm 101, just go a few pages to the right. Psalm 101. This one is only 8 verses. I think we have time. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. That's pretty expressive of how he felt about this. Depart from me, ye evildoers, because I'm going to follow the commandments of my God. Well, just a closing thought here. You can look at Proverbs chapter 2 and read through what Solomon says about the comparison of those who are wicked and those who are evildoers and those who are commandment doers. But just to close, in Psalm 6 it says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed, and let them return and be ashamed suddenly. So just back to Psalm 119 and our thoughts tonight. A couple of inequalities and one equality. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Well, it's the wonderful word of God. I think that adequately, I've given you enough to chew on for this week. So chew away. And you can be like a cow and chew the cud. Do you have 4 stomachs? Just regurgitate it up, chew on it some more. Y'all knew about that, right? Yeah, okay, very good. Well, I hope you enjoy God's word this week. And I hope it's been a blessing to you.